Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 8899 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 8899. Enjoy.
KGO 810. You can now listen at home by simply saying, Alexa, play KGO 810. Now, here's Chip Franklin.
So how many people have been called back to work, and how many of you don't feel comfortable with that? Now, I get in some cases, you got to be there. I know that a friend of mine is a pharmaceutical rep, and they've told her that she has to go back and see doctors. And she's worried, you know, as you would be, right? I mean, this thing is spiking, and those are dangerous places. But I also understand their point of view that it's a job. But what about, like, businesses that call you to come back, even though, you know, maybe just don't like you working at home? We told that story yesterday about the University of Florida is telling people that if you work home, you can't care for your kids, too. And I'm like, what are they going to call up? And you think their kid is going to answer the phone and go, you know, Beans and Associate? No, that's not what's going to happen. But if a kid's there and you need to do something with the kid, you do. You probably have an office. I don't know, man. This whole thing, sometimes I feel like we're really missing the point. Restaurants across the country, including here in the Bay Area, are struggling with the question, what are your rights as you go back to work? So we thought we'd talk to somebody that knew all this stuff. Richard Bell is an attorney, a legal analyst, and an attorney who specializes in liability questions, and he's nice enough to join us here on KGO. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Hi, Chip.
All right, so what is the biggest problem facing employees and employers as we kind of struggle to, you know, find our footing in this mess?
Sure. Well, I think number one is we certainly hope that employers understand the seriousness of their role during this stage of the pandemic, because they are bringing in people who are going to be exposed if they don't follow all the safety rules and the safety recommendations that are out there. So number one, as an employee, the first thing you want to do is when you get back to work is to make sure there are very specific plans and procedures that your boss has put into effect.
But again, that's maybe not down your wheelhouse. How do you know what are the ones? I mean, do you go online and how do you go to your boss and say, hey, you're screwing this up?
Well, I'll tell you, you see what's going on in Oakland and Chicago where these McDonald's employees, they went to work and the procedures that were being followed were not very safe in their opinion. And they literally went to court. Actually, I think there's a hearing on today in Oakland in the Oakland case. And what they did was their lawyers argued that there is this old theory called public nuisance law. It goes back many centuries. And literally it's to make sure that there's not an unreasonable interference with the right to common to the general public. What's the right here? The right, obviously, is good health and safety. So they have literally had a judge. The judge in Oakland actually closed down the McDonald's and is holding a hearing today about their practices of inadequate masks. This is the one where they were using coffee filters and dog diapers, allegedly, as masks, and having poor enforcement of social distancing. And the judge in Chicago, she held 4 days of hearings where she had medical testimony and employees. And she said, hey, you're doing a pretty good job in a pandemic. Pretty good isn't enough. And she ordered specific things about the social distancing and mask policy. So that's one way. Now, that's the extreme, obviously, because it went to court.
Do people, I'm just thinking about people that are working in a McDonald's. And, you know, it's an hourly wage. It's, you know, they don't go home at night and think about, you know, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow that I can be better? You know, they're there to make the, you know, a few bucks, right? Yeah. So if they start this, right, they're going to, you know, there's a million ways you can get fired. And they say, no, that's not what it was for. They did this or they did that. And they just want to get their time in. And, you know, I mean, most people just kind of push through idiots, and especially bosses that are idiots, because, you know, there's a whole nother level of you know, weirdness and ignorance at that level. And then, you know, most of the time it doesn't work out in their behalf. You know, there's actually winning a case like in court against somebody when, you know, you're the plaintiff is difficult. And then are you working during that time? What's your work experience like? How do other people treat you? All the extra stress. Do you think most people probably don't do this?
Most people probably don't. So if you're not going to go to that extreme, although we understand this is your health, this is not just a bad work situation. This could result in death. So it's not a joke. So most people, in the first instance, you go to your employer. If you have a union, you go to your union boss. Forget about OSHA. They apparently have no interest in this, so they seem to be doing the same. We'll get to it. So forget about them. There's the local Department of Health. And, you know, obviously then there's a lawyer, but you really want to get to the point where it's not just you. Hopefully there's a bunch of other employees, because then it makes it a tough situation for the boss if there's six unhappy people there instead of one.
Yeah, right. And I guess, do you have a right in many places to go over and talk to other people and try to organize, you know, whether or not it's just you? Does everybody feel that way? And other people will, you know, people say, you know, what are you rocking the boat for? But let's be very specific about this, okay? We have a president who doesn't wear a mask, and for the longest time, a vice president and the people in his administration, okay? So there's no, you know, I mean, again, if your boss or your immediate supervisor is conservative and just doesn't believe that this is a situation like that, or, you know, maybe they don't wear their mask and you have to wear yours, and that makes you feel uncomfortable, because obviously your mask is protecting other people, not protecting you, unless you have an N95, right? So, I mean, I guess my point is that this seems to me there's a lot of gray area in there, and I hear what you're doing, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's people should understand their rights, especially when it comes to contracting a virus that could end their life, you know. But I mean, let's get out of McDonald's and let's go into a regular workplace. As far as like social distancing and wearing masks, if it's not mandatory, and if it is mandatory, so if my boss doesn't have his or her mask on, and we're in like a workplace, and I'm coming down the hall. If I say something, then he'll put the mask on and remember that forever. And it's going to hurt me.
Yeah, there's no question. There's that very practical aspect that you're talking about, because it's a workplace, and California, like many states, are what are called at-will states, which means you can be fired for no reason unless you have a contractual relationship, other than obviously discrimination and a few other exceptions. But you're right. On a very pragmatic level, yes, you're in the position where the boss is in charge of this. Now, like I said, you know, you can always drop it down with the Department of Health or another governmental agency anonymously. The chances of them getting there in time to help people, not so good, because it's obviously a massive pandemic that's going on at the time. But, you know, the best you can do, like I said, I mean, if eight people went to the boss instead of one, that's always good. I mean, then you're not singled out, at least, if nothing else.
It takes courage. It takes courage to be a whistleblower. Courage. I mean, look at the whistleblowers in this administration that Trump has gone after. They've suffered. And, you know, so you're looking at that.
Chip, you're talking to someone that has thought that the last 3.5 years has been the worst disaster in our history. So I'm with you. And you're right. It takes a lot of courage to be a whistleblower or someone that organizes people. But I think what people need to think about is the consequences of not. This is not just, hey, I don't like the way they talk to me, or I don't like the assignments they give me. This really is life or death. We're in a very different place right now. So mustering up the courage could be the difference between you're getting sick or even passing it on to some family member and somebody dying.
I believe you're 100% right, and I think that it's it's always going to be difficult, especially when you're dealing with a big corporation and you're just an employee. And, you know, again, it comes down to distancing of masks right now. And obviously, you know, I mean, that's people, they're going to say, I did have my mask on, even though it's not, you know, down on their chin or whatever. I mean, this is the thing that kills me, is that, you know, we've seen studies now that say if 95% of Americans wore their mask, we could stop this thing in its tracks.
And it's the most simple thing in the world. What is the big sacrifice? This isn't like World War II and the Depression where our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers made real sacrifices. What is the big deal?
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate this, Richard. Good stuff. Thank you, too. I really do.
Again,
this
is... Thank you. If your listeners have any questions, my contact is 877-CALLLAW.com. Thank you, Chip.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Again, that's a liability attorney, and that's one of those. It's interesting. He just made me think of I was talking earlier about slogans, and I saw one that said "Mask it or casket." Pretty catchy, right? And it's funny. I got a lot of texts on this. The phone number, by the way, is 8080810. Yeah. Again, being an advocate for something is sometimes risky. You put yourself out there. I think that people that do that are, going back to, remember Silkwood, Karen Silkwood, it ended up costing her life. Whistleblowers are brave people because most of the time they're not at the government levels like you see, you know, like remember Lindman came forward, the Ukraine call, he was one of the first that did it and everybody questions you and they go through, you know, your opponents go through everything and, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult, but it's interesting. So I'm looking here at some of the, these are from the 707. What is a slogan that would define how you feel right now? This one's question authority. I got another one here. It says, change all U.S. currency names and faces now. That's obviously goes back to the Pat Thurston show when they were talking about George Washington High School. And, of course, Washington and Lincoln, Andrew Jackson should be off our $20 bill. He was a murderous monster. Harriet Tubman was supposed to take his place until Trump came into office. Now it's going to be another who knows how long. I would think that when Biden gets in, it'd be something he would push forward quickly. Another one says, I like this, err on the side of love. If we don't strike a balance, imbalance will strike us. I like that. Obey the law. I don't really understand that one. Do your own homework before you open your mouth. That's not really a slogan. That's more of a sentence. And maybe they're talking to me. I don't know. It is interesting. Black and brown lives matter. Well, yeah, I guess you could do. I mean, you could say that people of color lives matter would cover that. And in fact, you know, the Black Lives Matter, I've heard, doesn't really have a problem with including brown in it because young brown men have been pulled over as well. But it is the African-American experience in cities having their car pulled over. That is pretty much at the heart of that whole movement. 8088810 is the phone number. If you have a slogan that defines you, I thought about this is one I saw that said Joe Biden, but it was Joe and then B-Y-E, and then D-O-N. So get it, Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Yeah, cute, right? That's a problem with so many slogans, is they invariably sound punish. God, I hate puns, right? Here's another one. Any adult for president in 2020? That goes back to the 2016 election, if I recall. Facts matter, good one. Dump Trump. Totally on that. And on top of that one, I can't say this one on the air, but it's very funny. Now, you can send those too. I just can't read them. 8088810. Coming up in just a minute. This is something nobody's ever experienced before, unless you're 100 years old. I mean, we have a couple people that actually had the Spanish flu and had this and survived. They're in their hundreds, but the really having this kind of change in our world this quickly is something that some people can kind of roll with. Some people are in denial and don't really get it. You know those people. And some people really seem to have wrapped this thing around their head perfectly, and they understand every step of it. They are better prepared for the pandemic than anybody. And a team of psychologists came to this conclusion. Who are they? You got to stay and listen to this. That's coming up right next. I'm Chip Franklin. This is KGO.
Be heard. KGO 810.
So there was a study trying to figure out who is dealing best with this pandemic and what are the characteristics that they all had in common. And if I find this fascinating, and I know Nicky Maduro would as well, horror movie fans and those who deemed more morbidly curious by a personality test seem to be less psychologically distressed by COVID-19, according to New Scientist. That's a publication, and they did a study. The study, which was online this week, doesn't answer why that's the case, but they suggest that those who seek out terrifying fiction might be better prepared or at least more readily able to stay positive as a nightmarish pandemic unfolds around them. I hate horror films. Now, it depends on what you mean by a horror film. Like, I liked Alien, but I hate zombie movies. I hate movies where the bad guy looks just like somebody I trusted because they've taken that person's body. And if that's what they're talking about, then I'm not ready for it. You know, the pandemic is one of the things that for the longest time people would say is that, do you know anybody that has COVID-19? And for the longest time, a lot of people hadn't. You know, I was one of the few people that I had a friend get sick and die of it back in, I want to say, third week of March. So very early on in this. But, you know, he was a musician who had just in horrible shape, had, you know, heart surgery and all that stuff. So he got sick and, you know, everything just kind of went south quickly. But people that are ready for this, I just kind of curious, if you're a horror fan, do you think that it really makes you better prepared to deal with these kind of things? And what is it about people that like horror movies? Because Nikki loves them and she talks about it. And it's just, and we would sit there in the morning in the afternoon when we would do our show and talk about it. And it was like, I was just fascinated how much she loved it. And her and James would get down and watch just the horrible ones, like Last House on the Left or, you know, Final Destination. I remember when that first came out, my son was little and they had Final Destination 2. And he's like, how can you have two if the first one was Final Destination? He was a little kid. Even he saw through it. Nobody in my family likes them. I don't think so. One of my sons might now because they don't live at home anymore. But my wife and I hate them. But it is an interesting thing. The psychologist who worked on the research says that maybe horror is about emotion regulation. Because the horror movie fans had fewer negative mental states during the pandemic, they said maybe it has something to do with emotion regulation. And they speculated, he just about his own experience with horror. When he watches horror films, he told, a psychologist that wasn't part of the study, but he said, it allows me to give myself the experience of being afraid and then conquering that fear. It fascinates me, you know, that people have that want to get frightened by something just so they know they can overcome it. When I watch a movie and I don't know how it's going to end, to me, that can cause plenty of anxiety. It can be a courtroom drama. Somebody as long as I care about the person that's being tried or, you know, there's a good guy, there's a protagonist that you care about. But in a horror film, I'm just trying to think that The Exorcist, oh my God, I was a little kid when that came out and I got in, it was an R-rated movie. It frightened me for years. I don't consider Jaws to be a horror movie because it's kind of I guess it is though, but it's kind of it's a natural occurrence. And you can, you know, I mean, I'll stay on the beach. Jaws can never get me if I don't go on the water. But boy, zombie movies, or when I was a kid, there was one about Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Remember with Donald Sutherland? I think Shelley Duvall was in it too. You know, I mean, he the whole time, spoiler alert, but he's, you know, these aliens are getting his friends and turning them into zombies, and he sees it happening, and he doesn't know who is or who isn't. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, the phone number is 888-810. One of the big stories that is bouncing around today, and you heard Pat Thurston talk about it, and I got a lot of email and a lot of text, even though I haven't even talked about it yet today, which is the renaming or the obliteration monuments and statues or buildings to people who had, to say it kindly, a checkered past. Peter from Petaluma wants to talk about that. Peter, hi, you're on KGO with Chip Franklin. So what's your take on this?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, okay. Yeah, well, my name's, I'm from San Jose, by the way.
Oh,
and
all right,
thank you for having me on the show. So look, I told this guy here, I'm Mexican, and I don't think that that they should take these, you know, statues down, and that's just a part of history. And it's like,
but really a part of history. It's just, then leave it in a book. Why do you got to? When you make a statue, you're kind of honoring that. I mean, that's what statues normally do.
Right,
they honor people.
I get what you're saying, but you see, I mean, we can go back centuries ago, like when they invaded the Aztec Empire, Hernan Cortez, the conquistador. You know, back in 1519, they invaded the Aztec Empire, and the Spanish, you know, the Spaniards, and so.
Peter, I get it. I get what you're saying. But the bottom line is, people that do bad things, we shouldn't build statues and name things that we use every day in their name. All right, coming up, what are the odds it'll be an NFL season?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 8899 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 8899. Enjoy!